eager delight. "Dear Papa, you are so kind and good to me," she said, laying them down to put her arms around his neck and kissing him. "I like these books very much, and I don't at all care to read that other one, since you have told me you do not approve of it."
"That is my own darling child," said he, returning her caress. "Your ready obedience deserved a reward. Now, put on your hat, and we will take our walk."
Mr. Travilla joined them in the avenue, and his kind heart rejoiced to see how the clouds of care and sorrow had all passed away from his little friend's face, leaving it bright and beaming as usual. Her father had one hand, and Mr. Travilla soon possessed himself of the other.
"I don't altogether like these company days, when you have to be banished from the table, little Elsie," he remarked. "I cannot half enjoy my breakfast without your bright face to look at."
"I don't like them either, Mr. Travilla, because I see so little of Papa. I haven't had a ride with him since the company came."
"You shall have one this afternoon, if nothing happens," said her father quickly. "What do you say, Travilla, to a ride on horseback with the four young ladies you took charge of yesterday, and myself?" "Bravo! I shall be delighted to be of that party, if the ladies don't object. Hey, Elsie, what do you think?"
With a questioning look down into her glad face, "will they want me?"
"You needn't be afraid, Mr. Travilla," laughed the little girl. "I like you next to Papa, and I believe Lucy and the rest like you better."
"Oh, take care, Elsie. Are you not afraid to hurt his feelings?" "No danger, as long as she puts me first," Mr. Dinsmore said, bestowing a smile and a loving glance on her.
Caroline Howard was in Elsie's room, waiting to show her bracelet, which had just been handed to her by her maid, Pomp having brought it from the city late the night before.
"Oh, Elsie, I am so glad you have come at last. I have been waiting for half an hour, I should think, to show you these," she said, as Elsie came in from her walk. "But how bright and merry you look! So different from last night. What ailed you then?"
"Never mind," replied Elsie, taking the bracelet from her hand and examining it.
"Oh, this is very pretty, Carrie. The clasp is so beautiful, and they have braided the hair so nicely."
"Yes, I'm sure Mama will like it. But now that Christmas is gone, I think I will keep it for a New Year's gift. Wouldn't you, Elsie?"
"Yes, perhaps. But I want to tell you, Carrie, what Papa says. He and Mr. Travilla are going to take you and Lucy and Mary and me riding on horseback this afternoon. Don't you think it will be pleasant?"
"Oh, it will be grand," exclaimed Carrie.
"Elsie, I think now that your papa is very kind. And do you know, I like him very much indeed. Quite as well as I do Mr. Travilla, and I always liked him. He's so pleasant and so funny, too, sometimes. Oh, but I must go and show my bracelet to Lucy. Hark! No, there's the bell, and I'll just leave it here until after breakfast."
Elsie opened a drawer and laid it carefully in, and they ran off to the nursery.
"Elsie," said her father, when they had finished the morning lessons, "there is to be a children's party tonight at Mr. Carleton's, and I have an invitation for you. Would you like to go?"
"Do you wish me to go, Papa?"
"Not unless you wish to do so, daughter," he said kindly. "I cannot go with you, as there are to be none but little people, and I never feel altogether comfortable in seeing my darling go from home without me. You will, no doubt, be very late in returning and getting to bed, and I fear will feel badly tomorrow in consequence. But this once, at least, you shall just please yourself. All your little guests are going, and it would be dull and lonesome for you at home, I am afraid."
Elsie thought a moment.
"Dear Papa, you are very kind," she said. "But if you please, I would much rather have you decide for me, because I am only a silly little girl, and you are so much older and wiser."
He smiled and stroked her hair softly, but said nothing.
"Are you going to stay at home, Papa?"
she asked presently.
"Yes, daughter. I expect to spend the evening either in this room or the library, as I have letters to write."
"Oh, then, Papa, please let me stay with you. I would like it much better than going to the party. Will you, Papa? Please say yes."
But you know I cannot talk to you, nor let you talk, so that it will be very dull," he said, pushing back the curls from the fair forehead and smiling down into the eager little face.
"Oh, but if you will only let me sit beside you and read one of my new books, I shall be quite contented, and sit as quiet as a little mouse, and not say one word without leave. Mayn't I, Papa?"
"I said you should do as you please, darling, and I always loved to have my darling near me."
"Oh, then I shall stay," she cried, clapping her hands. Then, with a happy little sigh, "It will be so nice," she said, "to have one of our quiet evenings again." And she knew, by her father's gratified look, that she had decided as he would have had her.
A servant put his head in at the door. "Massa Horace, there's a gentleman in de library axin' for to see you." "Very well, Jim. Tell him I will be there in a moment. Elsie, dear, put away your books and go down to your little friends."
"Yes, Papa, I will," she replied, as he went out and left her. "How kind Papa is to me, and how I do love him," she murmured to herself as she placed the books carefully in the drawer where they belonged. She found Lucy and Mary busily engaged in dressing a doll, and Carrie deeply interested in a book. But several of the little ones were looking quite disconsolate.
"Oh, Elsie, do come and play with us," said Flora. "Anna won't play anything we like. We've been playing keeping house, but Anna will be mother all the time, and she scolds and whips us so much that we are all tired of it."
"Well, what shall we play?" asked Elsie, good-naturedly.
"Will you build houses?"
"No, I'm tired of that, because Anna takes all the blocks," said another little girl. "She isn't at all polite to visitors, is she, Flora?"
"No," replied Flora, "and I don't ever mean to come to see her again."
"I don't care," retorted Anna angrily, "and I don't take all the blocks either."
"Well, most all you do," said the other, "and it isn't polite. They're mine, and I'll have as many as I want, and I don't care if it isn't polite," Anna answered, with a pout that by no means improved her appearance.
"Will you play O Sister, O Phoebe?" asked Elsie.
"No, no," cried several little voices. "Anna always wants to be in the middle, and besides, Arthur always wants to play, and he will kiss us, and we don't like it."
Elsie was almost in despair, but Herbert, who was lying on a sofa reading, suddenly shut his book, saying, "I'll tell you what, Elsie, tell us one of those nice fairy stories we all like so much."
"Yes, do, do,"
cried several of the little ones, clapping their hands. So Elsie drew up a stool close to Herbert's sofa, and the little ones clustered around her, Anna insisting on having the best place for hearing, and for more than an hour she kept them quiet and interested. But she was very glad when at last the maid came to take them out walking, thus leaving her at liberty to follow her own inclination.
"What are you going to do now, Elsie?" asked Caroline, closing her book.
"I am going down to the drawing-room to ask Aunt Adelaide to show me how to crochet this mitten for Mammy," Elsie answered. "Won't you come along, girls?"
"Yes, let's take our sewing down there," said Lucy, gathering up the bits of muslin and silk and putting them in her work-box.
Elsie glanced hastily around as they entered and gave a satisfied little sigh on perceiving that Miss Stevens was not in the room, and that her Aunt Adelaide was seated with her embroidery near one of the windows, while her papa sat nearby, reading the morning paper. The little girls soon established themselves in a group on the opposite side of Miss Adelaide's window, and she very good-naturedly gave Elsie the assistance she needed.
"Elsie," said Lucy, presently in an undertone, "Carrie has been showing us her bracelet, and I think it is beautiful. She won't tell us whose hair it is. I guess it's her sister's, maybe. But I'm sure yours would make just as pretty a bracelet, and I want one for my mama. Won't you give me one of your curls to make it? You have so many that one would never be missed."
"No, Miss Lucy," said Mr. Dinsmore, looking at them over his paper. "You can't have one of my curls. I can't spare it."
"I don't want one of your curls."